new job on Sunday morning, and it's to read the scripture. So here we go. Today's scripture readings come from 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and both of these scriptures come from the Message version of the Bible. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angels did his best to keep me down, when in fact, he did push me to my knees. No danger, then, of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppression, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Now I'm going to read from Luke 22, 39 through 42. Leaving there, he went, as he often did, to Mount Olives. The disciples followed him. When they arrived at that place, he said, "Pray that you don't give in to temptation." He pulled away from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, remove this cup from me, but please, not what I want, what do you want?" At once, an angel from heaven was at his side, strengthening him. He prayed on all the harder. Sweat wrung from his head like drops of blood poured off his face. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Just the other night, at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into minor high school players. As I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the weird things used to be. She was the one that I wanted for all time. And each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I had never asked for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for that I remembered in my dreams. I could tell the time had changed me, and her eyes too had seen. We tried to talk about the old days, there wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. She walked away. Well, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for I. Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better way to open a message on unanswered prayer than that song, which has meant a lot to me and to many of you too. Why do my prayers go unanswered? Perhaps you've asked that question many times yourself. This week I sent out an email asking for your responses, and I did get several. One of them was, why didn't God heal Sandy Keck? I'm sure some of you know Sandy Keck and how much a blessing she was to us here at Bethel Church long before I came here. And another one was, I can't say that my prayers go unanswered because I don't know, I don't always see the results. Another wrote, my prayers are always answered, just not in the time frame I expect. That's very good responses to these. But the one that touched my heart the most was one from a daughter of a lady that attends the 11 o'clock service. And she has written, I have discovered over the years that sometimes God's greatest gift is unanswered prayer. I think I have been told no or wait, and believe it or not, I have come to realize that perhaps that was the best answer. God had a specific plan for my life that I did not understand at the time, but now I know it was the thing that has blessed my life in so many ways. I'm still not happy with all these answers, but I'm learning to trust that He in His charge, that He is in charge and will not take me where this grace will not protect me. Good words to remember as we talk about unanswered prayer this morning. You know, we pray for a lot of different things. Yesterday I went fishing with Jack Hendrickson, member of our church. And early yesterday morning, before we got to the dock at home in my prayer closet, I said, Lord, I'm praying for three things. First, that we catch some flounder. Kind of a selfish prayer. I said, secondly, that we have a safe trip, that we go and come back in safety. It's promised to be a pretty day, so I wasn't too worried about the weather. But then I prayed, Lord, just help me not get seasick. God made Dramamine for that very reason. Thank God for Dramamine. So all three prayers were answered. Well, you know, that was somewhat frivolous, I guess. Some people even pray for parking spaces. I remember on the way to seminary, where parking was a premium, we would always pray, sort of half-kiddingly, that as we pulled into Wesley Seminary's parking lot, Lord, please help us have a parking space right there in front of the dorm. And 9 times out of 10, there was not one. But once in a great while, God would answer that prayer. It reminded me of the man who was trying to diet and lay off of the donuts that he loved so very, very much. And so he prayed to the Lord, Lord, if you don't want me to have a donut today, you won't let me find a parking spot in front of Dunkin' Donut. After 16 times around Dunkin' Donuts, one finally opened. He says, well, I guess it was your will that I have a donut today. I guess it's okay. We pray, don't we? And let me just say at the outset that in a 20-minute sermon, 15-20-minute sermon, we cannot possibly cover every aspect of prayer, and particularly unanswered prayer. So I'm just going to be skimming the surface, basically, of this whole issue of prayer and unanswered prayer as part of this sermon series that I'm doing on why, and how can we know, you know, God's will in these things. So please bear with me as we try to cover a lot of material in this very short period of time. We all pray for different things, don't we? We pray for jobs. We pray for healing. We pray for to get a raise at work. We pray for many different things. I know of several students who pray fervently before an exam, a midterm, or an exam. Who says there's not prayer in school? I know there's prayer in school because I know some of our kids pray a lot before tests. You may have a house that's been on the market that needs to be sold. You've prayed about that too, I'm sure. But is this how prayer works? Is God supposed to answer every one of our prayers? And how many times have we been disappointed with our prayers being unanswered? Garth Brooks says it best. Just because God doesn't speak or doesn't answer doesn't mean that He doesn't care Sometimes unanswered prayer is a gift from God. But what do you do with passages of Scripture, and there are several of them, like Matthew 21:21-22. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I can't read it much clearer. You will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. How do you deal with that? Do we always get what we pray for? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I went on Googled unanswered prayer, or prayers that go unanswered, or something like that. Well, I got 1,000 hits, as you can imagine. But the one at the top said, 11 reasons why prayers go unanswered. I'm going to share 4 of them with you this morning. They were in the top 10. The number one reason that this website gave for unanswered prayer was, you're not seeking to please God when you pray. Another one was, you have unconfessed sin in your life. You pray with improper motives. And the one that got me, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. My question is, how much faith does it take? How much faith does it take? Is this something that you want to say to someone who is hurting, who is really struggling, who is dealing with a major crisis in their life? Well, you just don't have enough faith. You need to pray harder. You need to get more faith. To me, that's obscene to say that to someone who's hurting. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a what? A mustard seed. You all know how big a mustard seed is. It's smaller than a grain of salt. But Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, we got to understand something here about Jesus and what Jesus says. Jesus often used something called hyperbole. Y'all know what hyperbole is? Hyper means big. Hyperbole means an exaggerated statement to make an impact, to get a major point across. We do it all the time. How many of you have ever said, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse? What are you saying? I'm hungry. Jesus used hyperbole throughout Scripture when he said things like, if your hand causes you to sin, what did he say do? Chop it off. Really, Jesus? If your eye causes you to sin, what did he say? Gouge it out. Ouch. Did Jesus really mean that we are to cut off our hands and take out our eyes? Thank you. No, he did not mean for us to do that. What Jesus was saying is that sin is serious business. That God takes sin very, very seriously. So he uses hyperbole to get his point across. It got your attention this morning, didn't it? It sure got his disciples' attention. And it made them think about those things. When Jesus said, ask and you will receive whatever you ask for, what was he saying? Really? He was saying, take your prayers to God. Go to God in faith. Ask for God's help in whatever you need. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even open your mouth. Because God loves you. He wants to see you through each day. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be well. But we can't take everything that Jesus said literally. Literally. If we took prayer for healing, the hospital would close tomorrow. If everybody got well that we prayed for, anybody here work in the healthcare system? Nurses, care, doctors, nurses, guess what? You're on the unemployment line tomorrow. We can't take everything that Jesus said literally, but we need to understand what Jesus is trying to say. He is saying, lay it before God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I think there's a hymn by that name. Take it to the Lord in prayer. God will take care of you.